You know, the old prophets of old did warn us about all of this, and they did tell us. And we see it even with when the first 1,000 years AD came up, that all these portents, oh my God, of things that are going to happen, because there's a magical significance to time and numbers, of course. They talked about comets being seen and portents of terrible things, etc., etc. And they also had a real deep knowledge of forces, including evil, in religion. And anyone who discounts evil is going to end up either watching or participating or being a recipient of horror. That's a fact. For all the lessons we get taught, we so quickly throw it out the window and let the experts again rush us and stampede us onto the next part of the agenda. Never forget the horror. And when the second millennium came up, basically, or when they came up towards the year 2000, you know, even before that, we came up, the crescendo build-up in the 19th century into the 20th century. Really think about it. The build-up to that, the latter part, going up to the second millennium, but not at it yet, but the latter part, was a horror show of World War One. And never mind all the wars across the world with occupations and empires, etc. But with the rise of mechanisms and science for weaponry, you led up to a horror show. And Nietzsche, of course, they always give you, when they take away your religions, they give you philosophers as though they're gods in their place, you see. You had quite a few, of course, trying to, and Nietzsche was brought out, God is dead, basically, you see. And the whole idea was, well, if God's dead, then all the values, all the little safety mechanisms that could hold us back from being utter massive slaughterers, that was taken away, and yet the curtain was opened and you could peek through and say, my God, there's nothing to stop us to do whatever we want to do now. If there's no God with rules and laws and regulations, then all the unthinkable becomes thinkable. All the unthinkables, all the horrors which were unthinkable now, they're possible because there's nothing to stop you. And you're throwing away the last vestige of human morality. And then now you can say, oh, well, our scientists and our social thinkers can now rule the show, and they're the real gods, because if God is displaced and tossed away, who is the new God? What's a scientist, you say? And it's a social philosopher. And it's a dictator. And here you are. And so you had World War One, where millions of people were thrown at each other across muddy battlefields for years. And the gross domestic product of the entire of what they call the civilized world, went in to try and blow each other up. And that was the peak of your civilization and your knowledge. And suddenly you're given the sciences and abilities to put things together into greater weapons and technology. And you call this civilized. And again, behind it, you had this group, cabal of revolutionaries who'd worked for centuries before that to build up a world revolutionary force for total world conquest, to bring the whole world under their dominion. Because, you know, unlike Nietzsche, they'd tossed God out long, long before him. And they foresaw what they could do with nothing to hold them. And they were given their wish. And then, of course, you had World War II that came out of World War I, really. And then you had, it culminated with atomic warfare on Japan. and the threat of countries elsewhere afterwards for years. And we say we're civilized now. Civilized. When 9/11 happened, you know, the emergency call number happened, 9/11. We all know that, 2001, right? And I got to admit it, you know, that whenever a big thing is done, you're going to have incredible symbology and numbers thrown at you. You're supposed to swallow calmly and say, oh, that's a coincidence. But anyway, when it happened, after the PNAC group talked about the need for a Pearl Harbor event to mobilize the public opinion on their support for the wars they'd planned, or they'd like to do, you see. And they got their wish. Yeah. Because they're lucky that way, aren't they? Another coincidence. But anyway, immediately, Afghanistan was attacked. They already had troops built up to it before 9/11 happened, yeah, to go in. It was in all the papers. I did shows at the time talking about it from the newspapers at the time. And I always use was given as facts, was given, whether they are facts or not, but they're given as facts by the news. And so I didn't conjure things up out of thin air. And they did. It was a Canadian paper, it said at the time, but they said that the US think tanks that they really were pushing, creating the propaganda for this big war, you see, had changed its sights very quietly after going to Afghanistan. Quietly changed them all the way to focus on Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Without the people being even aware that it happened, it just seemed to be, it's like George Orwell, who are we fighting today, East Asia, West Asia, who is it, Eurasia? You just keep changing your sights and the folk just follow on, you see. And then Bush, George Bush at the time, who was the president, an inquiry, I'm sure it's still out there, he said, when he was asked at the inquiry about why they went into Iraq, you know, he says, well, I didn't say that Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. He says, it's just, he was a bad man, we're better off without him. So it's okay to do that. But before they did that too, they starved the people for years with embargoes. Huh? Probably, they made it over 500,000 at one point on television. With Madeleine Albright talking. And she was said it was worth it, starving them all. 500,000. And by the time they were finished, it was about 1 million. Of starvation, malnourished, lack of medications and so on, medicines. What I'm saying here is, do you really think we're progressing to some better future here? Huh? What makes you think you're somehow civilized now? When they're doing the same thing today with Iran. And the US and other countries have been, got special forces into Syria for years trying to topple them. Because just like they don't like the president of Venezuela, who was elected, they don't like the presidents and of other countries who are elected as well in the Middle East, like Syria, where they toppled even the president of Egypt at one point, the prime minister. Because they thought he wasn't secular enough. The West thought that. Well, so much for non-interference and so much for this thing called democracy, eh? Think about it. But we're civilized, aren't we? We're civilized. We don't go and just blow them up all the time. We starve them to death. We're have you seen folk being starved to death, folks? How come the wonderful news organizations aren't telling you all about that? How come, eh? How come? Isn't that news? I remember years ago they had photographers who put exhibitions on in New York and other places because they go around places and Bangladesh and in Africa, other places, India, Africa, all these countries, third world countries, where often, mind you, it wasn't just because, and again, you have this drumbeat in the back, there's too many people, too many. No, you always had Western interference for corporations wanting resources in these countries and causing civil wars all over the place. Standard technique. And when you have the civil wars, no one's doing the farming. Huh? And the food supplies can't get made and kept up. And the ones that are given to them can't even get through. I can remember stuff with Red Cross parcels ending up going through the Sahara Desert years ago on camels to be sold elsewhere by tribesmen. But getting back to the photographer, and he had all these professionally done photographs, and he had some video too of going in to these designated areas where there had been mass starvation. And what do you think you'd hear? It's not like you're seeing on a give you for news today, or you see the kids screaming and yelling, "Give me," you know, and the hands waving, and they're all. What you've got is a deathly silence. That's what you get as you go in. And you've got children, emaciated children, dead and dying outside in the streets, next to houses. Mother is the same thing. Often the mothers would die first, trying to give the last vestige to the children of food. And so the children were lying. They have no energy to move, to crawl, whatever. The dogs and animals are all gone, you know. Either been eaten or they've starved themselves. But this deathly eerie silence everywhere. And that's how you go out, not with a bang, but with a whimper, as it's said.